Good morning. All right, settle down now. It's really good to be in a church where you like each other and have to ask you to do so. A few quick announcements. We're a part of a ministry called Kids Hope, which is a mentoring ministry for children at risk in our school systems here. And the school teachers have jumped onto this with great enthusiasm. We actually have more children than we have mentors for the first time. If you're interested in mentoring a child and building a relationship 1 hour a week with one student, there will be a table in the lobby area where you can hear more about Kids Hope, ask questions, and offer yourself in that way if you feel like that might be your calling. Wanted to remind you that today there is a quilt auction, you can probably tell by looking around, for Flat Rock Children's Home, which is one of our United Methodist homes for children of disabilities. It'll be a big party here around 1:30. The silent auction starts. The children will sing at 3, and then the live auction. So we welcome you back to that. It's Undie Sunday, and there's boxes in the lobby areas to drop off socks and underwear as we drop things off in missions that we're a part of. We find that that's a great need for people to have clean underwear and clean socks. And the very last thing I wanted to offer to you is that in 2 weeks from today, we're going to be moving our whole Sunday morning operation to Mashad's Party Center. We're going to have one service at 10 o'clock, a big celebration, kind of like an Easter service, as we consecrate ourselves and our offerings for the year. And then we're going to have a lunch. I was going to say a free lunch, but it's not free at all. It was expensive, but a couple of folks in our church stepped up to pay for the whole thing so that it doesn't come out of church funds. But you're welcome and invited to come. There's a tear-off that will reserve your spot. If you could actually just tear that off right now, I would love to hear those things rip. And then Greg will tell you more later in the service about what to do with those. Today is Worldwide Communion Sunday, where Christians gather from all around the world to celebrate the mercy, the grace, the new beginning, and the joy that we have in Christ. Welcome to worship. This morning, we're continuing in a series from our churchwide book study, Integrating Healthy Emotions with the Deep Things of the Spirit. Today's text is around Joseph from the Old Testament, not from the birth narrative of Jesus, but the Joseph from the Coat of Many Colors, who was raised with a bunch of families in a crazy home, as if all homes aren't just a little bit crazy. From Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 and following. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph and said, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you're to say to Joseph," he said. "I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so poorly. Now forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." And when the message came to Joseph, it didn't sound like a real sincere apology. They kind of like said, "Our dad has told us to say this stuff to you." Anyhow, Joseph, he wept. And then his brothers came and they threw themselves down before him and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You did intend me harm, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many, many lives. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and for your children." And he reassured them, and then he spoke tenderly to them. "The grass will wither, the flowers will fade, but the word of the Lord will live forever and ever. Thanks be to God." A home is supposed to be a place of refuge, and Joseph's home was anything but a shelter. It was a family tree that had broken limbs. It was something that would take decades to make sense of for Joseph. It began in a natural battle for the competition of scarce resources, namely the attention of a mom and dad who were inclined by their own disposition and their temperament to move towards and favor different children in the family. And whether that's perceived or real, it rains havoc in the life of a child. It all begins, a member of our church told me a story, God bless you, of when It's just instinct sometimes, you know. So told a story of bringing a newborn child home with an existing 3 or 4 year old. The 3 or 4 year old was thrilled when the brother came home from the hospital and doted and pampered and wanted to help diaper and care for. And then as things got into the evening, the atmosphere changed a little when the older sibling said about the baby, you mean he has to sleep here too? Like thinking it would be okay for a few hours, but who wants to have the time and the attention of a mom and dad? Joseph's brothers were jealous of his gifts, of his special relationship with their dad. And when he was 17, his brothers took action, throwing him into a well and selling him then to slave traders, reporting his supposed death to their father. Said one theologian, George MacDonald, "The hearts of fathers tend to not be all the way open to the hearts of their children. Few men open their soul to their children, and when a man does not, there is brokenness and separation that begins with him. Even if their love is deep and true for a son or daughter, but remains unexpressed, the blessing hidden shall be their wound." Unquote. This is the beginning of the story of Joseph. And now Joseph thinks he can outrun his past or move beyond it or think that it's not a part of him. The author of the book that we're reading, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, said that his son said to him once, "You might have Jesus in your heart, but you have grandpa in your bones." We all inflict a little bit of our own family craziness on each other. When our children were growing up, we had a counseling jar on the kitchen table. We did, and every time we made them mad or frustrated them or hurt them, my daughter would say, "I'll never do that to my kids when I have them." And I would say two things: write it down and sign it. I have a whole stack now that her daughter will get for a birthday present. I do. And secondly, we would put money then in their counseling jar. We would just say, "Okay, we owe you counseling for down the road when you need to sort out the nuttiness of this family." But our kids actually preempted the counseling jar, and they would ask, "Could I have some pizza money?" I'd say, "It's in the counseling jar, but don't come back when you're 30 and you hate me. Don't. We're paying you off now." It's true. We all have to overcome things of perceived identifications with one child over another. What happens when a blessing is lost or when we miss an opportunity to turn out the lights or turn on the lights for a young heart? What happens when deep needs that are mysterious and different for each child are unmet? What happens when tensions under the surface of a cheerful and plastic American home reveal that there can be deep pain and we hide and suppress these feelings, wondering if we're crazy for so many years? What happens when money becomes the source of security in a home like it did for Joseph? What happens when looking into the past illuminates the presence and secrets are revealed, and time doesn't necessarily make these things better? Phyllis Diller one time said, "If time is such a great healer, why is it such a lousy beautician?" So there we have, in a nutshell, the human dilemma and the story of Joseph, a story of tension and brokenness and complication and confusion, not pushed on anybody for any particular motive other than that's the way it just works. Joseph ends up in prison. His life circumstance point to the conclusion that maybe God has forgotten him. And as a result, many, many years pass, decades, and I imagine there's no 3 squares, a library, and a weight room. Joseph rots the prime of his life away in jail because of the hurt inflicted upon him by jealous and envious brothers. Now he's some 50 years old. He's been elevated because of a dream he had that he interpreted to Pharaoh and put in charge of grain supplies. A famine has pushed people from the Middle East in general, his own family in particular, now down to Egypt, and his brothers come on their knees begging for help for the one that they had deeply harmed. And Joseph begins with the honesty about the baggages and challenges they face. He says, "You intended me harm." He doesn't skate over it. He doesn't say, "Well, maybe like Maybe everybody just was having a bad day. I would have done the same thing had I been in your shoes. He doesn't excuse it or kiss it off. He simply acknowledges the deep pain that he struggled with over many years. Forgiveness is not one quick, easy, one-time action. I wonder if we could interview Joseph, if we could ask, how many decades did it take for you to come to the conclusion that you could release your brothers while you suffered? Forgiveness is not based on the actions or attitudes of the others or the brothers. Joseph looks in the mirror and says, I am not God, meaning maybe he's claiming his own brokenness, his own mistakes, and needs his own forgiveness, and that he's not taking his brothers off the hook in terms of ultimate justice. He's not saying that they won't pay for what they've done. He's saying he will not extract justice for what they have done. The forgiveness of others begins in the consideration of a bigness of God, that even though they be off our hook, maybe not off everyone's hook. Joseph's forgiveness comes freely and beautifully and tenderly in a moment where the brothers expect retribution. God is the author of healing in his life. He does now bear with his brothers these grievances as he gives them to God. I think to grow old and free of bitterness would be one of the great legacies we could ever leave to our children and children's children and our friends and neighbors. Today is an opportunity for us to release something and give it to God. Today is an opportunity for us to be released and forgiven in the eyes of God. God's forgiveness of us causes sometimes tears to flow and past to emerge and tenderness to happen and new life to begin. As Joseph integrates his forward motion, he does so looking in the rearview mirror and asking for God to even bless his brothers as they weep and hold each other. Let me close with this really brief story. On January 13 of 1982, a Boeing 727 in Air Florida, Flight 90, crashed into the Potomac River as it was covered with ice. The fuselage broke as it hit the ice-packed river and opened the fuselage where people, injured and none, slid into the river, many of whom would drown. There was a woman who hit the ice and started to slide into the river when a man threw her a lifeline. She was too injured and weak to hold the lifeline. And in a moment, the man willingly jumped from the plane into the water, into the icy waters of the Potomac. And as he pushed her back up into the fuselage, and as people grabbed her, he slid under the ice and was never seen again on this earth. Interested, longing, wanting to know who this self-sacrificial man was who would give his life, not only to throw a lifeline, but to be a lifeline for another life. They asked the woman questions. Was he airline staff? Was he wearing a uniform? No. What were the features of his age? Was he young or old? She said in her own words, he seemed timeless. When I look, I can't even remember an age. What were his features? How would you describe him? They asked to find the identity of this man who would give his life away. She said, his eyes. I'll remember his eyes forever. They said, what color and what did they look like? She said, I looked into his eyes and I saw the eyes of Jesus. He looked like Jesus looked. Into the icy waters of bitterness, Jesus slides in a manger in Bethlehem. Into the frigid deep of our own sin, he climbs willingly. Into the glacial freeze of our human condition and our anger and hostility, sometimes towards each other, he freely gives himself and begs us, forgive them, they know not what they do. You have been released, we proclaim, on this worldwide communion Sunday. Christ has forgiven all. Come, look, discover, acknowledge that you in Christ have been set free, released, redeemed, let go, absolved, expiated. Whatever word you can say, God looks at you and sees you as clean in Christ and whispers, come now be free, my child, on a day like this, and release something of old. Amen.